Oh, what's there's up? The guy.
Hi, Aaron.
What's up? What's up?
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you were able to come get in there.
Okay, there's Andrea. Too.
Okay, where's Jacob?
Where is Jacob?
I don't know. He sounded like he was playing a game.
Jacob? Oh, there he is. Wait, then we lost Aaron.
No, Aaron's down there. I see him.
Oh, okay.
Is everybody on? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Yes. Okay, so this is Speak Up, Speak Out. How are you guys doing? I got Chris in the house. Say what's up.
What's up?
I got Jacob in the house. Say what's up.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
I got Andre in the house. Say what's up.
Hey.
And I got Aaron in the house. Say what's up.
What's all up,
right,
y'all?
So, like, we're gonna jump right in. I'm gonna start out by letting you guys kind of introduce yourself. Tell me maybe like a couple things about you, and then we'll go right into our interview. So, Chris, tell me some stuff about you. Who are you?
I'm your brother.
Oh, okay.
Your older brother, just to let the world know. I am a child of the Most High God.
Okay.
Nah, I'm a chill dude. Some call me that groovy dude. Some call me Pastor Chris. Some call me that black guy. So I'm just annoying. A guy that just, yeah, Mariah Shields calls me annoying and some other girls, but it's okay. But no, I'm just a guy that just likes to have fun and build the kingdom of God. So that's
okay.
Pretty much me.
Okay, Jacob, what about you? Tell me a little bit about you.
Cool. My name is Jacob. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm married to an amazing woman. We've been married for a year now. Start next week on Wednesday.
Oh.
And I'm a dog dad. I have two dogs now. One's
okay.
One is 1 year old, and the other one's 8 weeks old. And that's a little bit about me. And I just love God. I love people, and I do my thing.
All right. I see you. All right, Andrea. Tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I'm Andrea Winston, and basically I'm a student of biology and a minor in sociology, and I also work at a holistic hospital.
Wow. Okay. Well, there it is. All right. Aaron, what about you?
So, I'm a youth pastor. I'm actually a youth pastor at Trinity Church in Cedar Hill. I'm married to an amazing woman. Like, just like Jacob said, but we've been married for about a year and 6 months. So it's still pretty fresh, but it's awesome. And I love Jesus.
Wow.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Y'all already know them. My name is Mariah. Hello. I am the host. All right. That's all you need to know. All right. So let's jump right in. So Chris, we're going to start out with you because you like the first one. So what, when you hear the word spirituality, what words come to your head?
God.
Okay. Can you like
Oh, you want me to elaborate?
Yeah.
The best way I would explain it is the ability of taking the fresh and newness of God and applying it to the realities of the world.
Okay.
So it's when you're able to connect to his realities, just like he always says all over the Bible, bringing heaven to earth.
Okay. I like that. What about you, Jacob?
I think spirituality is both. It can be both negative and positive.
Okay.
When I think of spirituality, I think of our modern sense that we're in right now, the context we're in. A lot of people are trying to find their spirituality. And I think most of that is usually they're trying to find themselves, but they're actually attributing it to a different spirit. So I think spirituality sometimes can be the absence of a God as well. Some people are like spiritual through like Buddhist or Hindu, whatever the case may be. They are practicing some kind of spirituality. So,
okay, I like that. What about you, Andrea?
Spirituality for me, I feel like it's more of a freedom and like finding a purpose than anything.
Okay. And Aaron?
So spirituality in like a broad sense, I really feel like it's about like your spirit being connected to a higher power. So it's more, it's like realizing that there's more than just what we see.
I like that. I definitely like that, Aaron. Okay. All right. So we just talked about spirituality. So we're going to jump into religion because, I mean, being a person that's a Christian, I mean, everybody I think on here is a Christian. So being a Christian, I want to know the difference kind of between, I guess, having a relationship with God and then being religious. So, Chris, you're going to jump it off for us.
Well, having a relationship with God is the same kind of reality that I was describing when it comes to spirituality. It's having a fresh and new. Okay. Just like Jacob and Aaron described being married, if they get stale with their relationship, that relationship would no longer be.
Right.
And that's where their relationship would turn from a spiritual relationship to a religious relationship. The moment that it stops being fresh and new is when it's religious. It is the exhausting of the same practice over and over and over again. But the reality of a healthy relationship is the ability to take it to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the reasons why married couples or dating couples go on vacation or go other places is to keep that reality fresh and new. And that is the same ability that God has given us with him. There are things, your whole life is spent learning more about God if you really are interested in learning who God is.
Okay. I like that. What about you, Jacob?
So I looked at what religion means, and it's basically just the belief, worship, and practices of a deity, right? So I think our generation, like millennial Gen Z, has spent their whole life trying to disprove that they're not religious when it's okay to have religion in your life. It's kind of how the world defined it as religion, right? And I think for a while we've been trying to say, I don't have any religion, I have a relationship, right? We had that conversation.
Right.
And through that, we've lost the honor of the church and honor of what it is to be a Christian, right? Like, it's okay for us to say, yeah, I'm religious. I'm not legalistic. And I think that's the difference. I can be religious. I can believe in a God. I can believe in a deity. I can believe in Jesus. That's my religion, Christianity. But I'm not legalistic where that is where I judge people and I hurt people and I condemn people because of that. So I think we need to make that clear in culture today. Like, it's okay for me to have religion, have tradition, and have a set of beliefs, but it's not okay for me to be legalistic where I take those beliefs and judge people.
I definitely like that. Okay, Andrea, what about you?
Religion for me, I just feel like religion is more of a dictated belief than spiritual than anything. It's more of a forced situation than you having a relationship with God.
Okay. All right. And Aaron?
So when I hear religion, I kind of going along with what Jacob said, I've always thought of legalistic, like legalism. I went to Catholic school growing up, so I think of the Catholic Church, and they're always talking, they always use the word religion, religion, religion. It's always talking about their set of beliefs. So I looked up religion as well, and like I went down, and like it does say what Jacob said. And then another one is, I think, where people kind of take this definition and run with it, like in culture, is a particular system of faith and worship. And I think that, of course, systems aren't always bad, but a relationship with God is so much more than just a system of beliefs. Wow.
That's good. Woo, that's good. Okay. Let me go on. Okay. So do you guys think that religion and spirituality are the same? Or are there is there differences? So I'm going to go down back to Aaron and I'm going to go back up. So Aaron, do you think religion and spirituality are the same?
I think they're different. I think they're very different because religion, I think, is like your set of beliefs, and it's also believing in that higher power. But spirituality, you can be religious and be spiritual, but you don't need to be religious to be spiritual. Like, you can believe in the stars and the planets having all this crazy power and call yourself a spiritual being.
Okay. What about you, Andrea?
I think they're completely different things. Like I said before, for me, spiritual is more of a freedom situation, and being religious is it's just so structured.
Okay. What about you, Jacob?
I think they can be the same, but I think they go hand in hand. Religion is more, I feel like I can compare religion, the idea of having a religion is like the idea of having a genre, right? Like, say, like, Christianity is like hip-hop, and then, like, Hinduism is like, whatever the case may be, a different... It's like the genre that we're in, but no matter what religion I practice, I'm still practicing some type of spirituality. But like they were saying, you can be spiritual with the absence of religion. So I think they both go hand in hand. The difference is that you can practice both without each other also.
Right. Okay, Chris. Yep. What about you?
I think they're totally different.
Okay.
From my perspective, I see religion as a physical practice, whereas the encounter that you're experiencing in the spiritual is not... There's practical realities, but it's almost out of body, if that makes sense. Right. Like, you're not subject to the measures of the physical realm when you're tapping in the spiritual realm. But when it comes to religion, you are tied down to the practices of man. Oh, we have to take it this way. We have to do it this way. There's an aspect of it. Can it be outside of legalism like they're talking about? Yes, it can be. But it takes the... submission of the physical and being led by the spiritual for that reality to actually take place. And that is not a practice that we have actually came into to realize in the world yet. Now, does God talk about it in the Bible? Yes. Will it come one day? Yes. But right now, the way that the fabrications of religion has been displayed has been incorrect in a lot of ways.
Mm. Okay. Does anybody disagree with that? With what Chris just said, anybody? Jacob, Aaron, Andre?
No.
I just feel like we're confusing the word religion and like religious. You understand what I'm saying? Where a lot of us are, because we grew up in a culture where the idea of religion is a bad idea. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we already have our own narrative to the word religion. When we like just the word religion literally just means like where is your faith in, like, what deity do you follow? You understand what I'm saying? So that's why
no, I totally,
you get what I'm saying? So it's just like, what are we using? What definition are we using? Because we're kind of loosely, or you're interchanging the words religious and religion, all right? And we're using them loosely,
right?
Yeah, but the only thing I would counteract that with is the reality of there is no mention of religion in the Bible.
Right. Ever. Okay. Right.
But there's a mention of spiritual. So that's why I'm saying this reality of religion or religious, regardless of that label, has been man-made. If we keep it about God, we're not building systems. We are going to build systems because systems are safe places. God has boundaries, or gravity would, you know, tear us all up, or the sun would burn us all to death, or we would freeze to death. So no, boundaries are safe and boundaries are good. But when we put the boundaries above the relationship or the reality of the spiritual being led by the spirit, that's when the problem happens. Does that make sense?
Yes and no, but it's okay. We can go to the next question.
Okie pokey. Okay. Do you believe that all of us have or live with spirituality? So I'm going to start with you, Jacob. Do you think we all live with spirituality, a part of us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every person has a spirit. It could be dead or alive, right? So you either are ignoring your spirit or you're acting in your spirit. But no matter what, you're doing something spiritual. Everyone doesn't realize every single day of their life they're doing something spiritual. From the conversations you have at Starbucks to the talk that you have with your wife, you're always doing something in the spiritual realm. So,
okay, what about you, Andrea?
I believe the same. I mean, technically, like he said, you do everything spiritual. I mean, I just agree with him.
Okay, Aaron, do you have anything to say on that?
Yeah, I really believe that. Like Jacob was saying, everything we do is spiritual. So, like, it may seem like it's just physical. Like, you have a conversation with somebody about Jesus at Starbucks, right? You may think it's just physical. You may think it was just a conversation. But no, words are power. Because what did God use to create the universe? Right. Words. Words are spiritual, inherently. So you just planted spiritual seeds in a person's brain, in a person's spirit. So I think everybody lives with the spiritual side. They just may not recognize
it. I like that. What about you, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I agree with all the answers. The only thing I would add in is just, you know, as long as there's blood, if there's blood in your veins, there's spirit. You know right. what I mean? That's the reality yeah. that we see the example of the spirit manifesting all over the Bible. So, I mean, if you have it, every day of your life, you're walking, you know, and that's why he told us to walk in the spirit daily.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about kind of like the harms of maybe being religious or being or having spirituality, because I feel like there is some harms in doing that. So I'm going to go back down to Aaron. So Aaron, do you think there's any harms with being, I guess, more spiritual or more religious? Do you think there's any harms in between those?
Yes, I believe that God is the God mm-hmm. of balance. I think if you get too religious and it's all about structure, it's all about tradition, it's all about following a set of rules, that's a very scary path to go down, because you no longer are focusing on your relationship with God. And the Lord showed us just by knowing when he started his ministry that he'd have 3 years to turn the world upside down. And what did he invest in first?
Right.
He invested in relationships. So relationships are so important. But if you get so spiritual that all you want to do is sing worship songs all day and pray, and you don't actually get anything done, I think that's also a scary place, because then you're no help to anybody.
I like that. Okay, Andrea, what about you?
Okay, so I think for bad for me, for spirituals, people might take spiritual the wrong way, as in saying it becomes more into witchcraft.
Okay.
Of anything of that sort.
Okay.
And when it comes to religion, it's more of just like a lot of people have become, let's say, dictators.
Okay.
And they've tried to use it upon being religious.
Okay.
To control people.
I like that. Okay, Jacob, what about you?
So I think in religion, you find your physical community, and in spirituality, you find your divinity community. So when you're in religion, you find people. Like, that's your people, community, Christian people, right? That's the people you have friends with. That's your community. And when you're practicing spirituality, right. you're having people who pray for you. And then you're having a God that loves you. And that's that other part of your life. So it's having both, using both, right? So it's both physical and spiritual. And I think that both those things give you a balance in your life.
Okay. What about you, Chris?
I'm trying to understand the question. Are you asking, is there negative aspects of...
So,
physical and spiritual?
Yeah, so what are the harms of having one more than the other, or having one less than the other? So what brings that? Like, what harms bring that?
Well, that's why we have division in the church, or not even just in the church, in society in general. Mm-hmm. If we had, like, you know, Aaron was describing, if we had a true, full balance, or another word would be fullness, of the reality of what God created us to be, both, like Jacob was saying, practical and spiritual.
Right.
Then we have the perfect image of God, and it allows us to have unity in all aspects of life. So we would understand a lot more if we would allow the fullness of, you know, the practical and the spiritual to come together.
I like that. Okay. So my next question is, so going off of people that are not, let's just say they're not religious, they're not spiritual, everything like that, what is one thing that we really need to, as a whole, it being a generation, we need to push for people that are not saved, people that don't know God, people that are looking for something? What do we need to do better as a generation? I'll start with you, Aaron.
So what do we need to do better as a generation? Wow, that's a loaded question. But I'll go ahead and open that Pandora's box. So I think what we need to do better as a generation is love people. Number one, first and foremost, like, you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can do all this stuff, you can have every spiritual gift, but if you don't have love, it's worth nothing. So I think that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's his love that changes things. And I really believe that if everybody saw Jesus as he truly was, if everybody saw God as he truly was, and saw how much he loved us and understood how much he truly loved us, a lot of people would turn to Jesus.
I definitely agree with that. Okay, Andrea.
Let's see. Like I said, for me, I just think as all of us, we're all stuck in this one world dimension.
Okay.
That we, most people don't even know their purpose.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of us just don't care to know it.
Right.
So we end up living in a one-dimensional world where, as you said before, we all technically need to love each other since we're all about oneself.
Right. Okay. All right, Jacob, what about you?
For me, love is always important, obviously. But you can't love someone unless you listen to someone. And I think our generation has the worst dialogue in the entire history. It's not because our fault. It's because we're the iPhone internet generation. It's not our fault that we were born with this communication style. And it's crazy that we can communicate more than ever before, yet we're saying less. And we don't have a dialogue. I can't dialogue with my atheist neighbor, or I can't dialogue with someone politically. And I heard a quote the other day that said, a wise man knows nothing and says nothing because they're always listening. And I think in our generation, if we can learn how to listen to each other, we'll actually learn how to love each other. Mm. Because if we're not listening, we don't know each other's heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what speaks. So if we're not listening to what people are saying, then we don't know the abundance of the heart. So now we're just running around judging people's hearts because we haven't really truly listened to them. So I think that's what we need in our generation. Is we need ears to hear.
Ooh, I like that. Wow. Okay. All right, Chris.
I mean, I'm on the phone. I'm on this interview with amazing guys. So, I mean, they hit it. They killed it. But the only thing I would just add is, you know, kind of falling on that same line, that same thing. We have to love. And, you know, just to piggyback off of what everybody kind of brought to the table, you know, I would just sum it up in James 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Mm. And if we really allow that reality to be application to our life, we are seeing a practical and spiritual man, James, who encountered Jesus. He's a stepbrother from Jesus. Right. And he's telling us, hey, you want to master this reality of life, of how to walk in the practical and the spiritual? Be quick to listen. Quick to listen to who? God. Slow to speak. Right. Why? So God can give you the words to say.
Right.
Right? And you will never get to wrath. You will never be loose. You will never be crazy. You'll never get out of line. Why? Because you will understand the reality of what's being applied. And I think that is, like Jacob was saying, the reality that we miss. We have such a high level of criminal rate in our generation. We have so much racism, so much all these things that if we would just sit there, like Jacob was saying, like Aaron was saying, and just love and listen, all these things would go away because we'd have a bunch of people walking with understanding, not walking in confusion. Mm. And when you see the perfect manifestation of the practical and the spiritual, you have people that know their purpose and are walking in the fullness of the understanding of what God has called them to.
Mm. I like that. Definitely like that. So I do have a little question for my youth pastors. I'm going to come for you guys really quick. So for being youth pastors, what have you seen in the generation that maybe like you guys are starting to like, I guess, do with this generation, like obviously showing love and everything like that. But what have you seen different from when you were growing up until like now? Because it's a whole different generation. So you guys being youth pastors, what have you guys been, you know, teaching as well as kind of giving like the roadmap on getting through life being a Christian and everything like that? I'll start out with Aaron.
All right. So as a youth pastor, and I've only been a youth pastor for a little over a year.
Okay.
And I've already seen that one thing I noticed is that this generation does not care about your position. This generation doesn't care what kind of position of authority that you're in. They don't care if you're a head pastor. They don't care if you're the president of the United States. What they care about is, do you care about me?
Right.
What they care about is, do you want to have a relationship with me? So on one hand, that's amazing, because once you introduce God as a relational God, they're in. They're 100% in and they're on board. But some of the negative things is that that I've been teaching on is they really, really struggle with mental health. like at a way earlier age. Like I didn't even know what mental health was in the sixth grade. And like these kids have depression, like these kids are going through like real life issues at such a young age. So I've had to kind of gear my teaching and preaching towards that, like how to have a right mind, how to have a right spirit, how to live healthily, how to have joy, how to keep peace, because we got to realize it's like we're pastoring a generation who just had to live through one of the craziest pandemics since the 20s.
Right.
So mental health has been huge. That's something that I've really noticed.
Okay. What about you, Jacob?
Yeah, I agree with the mental health thing. I think I walked into my youth one time and they were all looked like the look of stress on their face. And I was like, man, why are you stressed out at 13 years old? And it's because the pressure of being a millionaire at 21 is in our generation. The pressure of being successful at 20 and being perfect at 15 and all these TikToks, everyone looks incredible. And you know, we grow up with that. You grow up with unnecessary pressure. So that's something I see that gets a problem. I also see hunger. I see there's a hunger in our generation. Not just spiritual, but I think it's spiritual. Like God gave hunger to this generation because they're so hungry to make new businesses. They're so hungry to like learn. Like the most videos that are watched on TikTok or YouTube are either vlogs or they're DIY videos or how-to videos. Those are like the biggest videos for our generation. Because they're so hungry for more, and they're more, and it's in so many areas, right? So I think our generation, the next generation specifically, it's like they're really hungry, but they feel a lot of pressure. So it's a constant pressure of wanting more and not being enough. So that's why mental health is such a issue, because they're constantly saying, "I'm not enough, but I want more," and that's something that we're battling in. Man, and also I just think the generation is biblically illiterate. I've been trying to take my time to be, in a sense, a rabbi in the idea of just teaching the Bible and letting them see God for themselves. Right. So when they leave, when they're 18, they don't just leave the church because of what I said. They leave the church because they made a conscious choice, even though after reading all the scripture, then they will leave. But I think if they would read the scripture, see what God really says, then they'll make a conscious choice to follow him and go with him. So.
I like that. Chris, did you have to add something on?
Yeah, I mean, again, they knock it out of the park every time. But I would just say that, you know, one of the things that I always encourage, whether it's speaking into youth pastors or I'm still traveling and communicating to youth, I think the biggest three things that we can share with them is learning how to think, how to speak, and what to guard. And if they can maintain those three areas, then that's when the reality of who their identity comes into place. Because, you know, Proverbs 4:23, where it says, guard your heart because out of it flows the issues of life. You know, and then you have Proverbs 23:7 that says, so a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then you have, like Jacob said earlier, Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you really guard your heart, you allow your heart to be the guider of your thinking when it's connected to God, obviously when you have a relationship with God, but we have to get them in that place first. And how do you stay in that place? By, like Jacob saying, having the word in your life. That's why David says, I hide the word in my heart so I don't sin against thee. So we give them this reality of being daily clothed in the word, bathed in the word, right? Then it changes the way they speak. So now they know the fullness of who they're called to be. And the biggest issue that I've seen, whether it's a teenager, whether it's an adult, is identity. You have to know who you are in God. And when you know who you are in God, all these things are not just added to you, but all these issues begin to work themselves out. How do you think the reality that Christ lived in is the reality that we have the honor and the privilege to walk into, but it takes us applying his realities. What did he do? He knew how to think, he knew what to guard, and he knew what to say. And we always have to lead with that reality. And I think that that's the biggest thing that we could share to the next generation. Hey, know what to guard, know what to think, and know what to say.
I like that. I definitely like that. So, give me a very simple but very impressive proof that your soul exists. I'll start out with Andrea. Yeah, did you hear me? I said,
no, what did you say?
Give me a very simple but impressive proof that your soul exists.
Ooh, that my soul exists. To be honest with you, I really don't know.
Hey, that's okay. That can be an answer. That can.
Okay. I'm still learning myself. So okay. I really don't know.
Aaron, what about you?
Oh, that's a really good question. Dang, that's difficult. Honestly, like 100% proof. I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay, Jacob, what about you?
So the soul is defined as the mind, the will, and emotions.
Okay.
Scientists have yet to figure out how the mind can create emotion. So we know that emotion is created through chemicals, right? So dopamine, melatonin, serotonin, right?
Right.
But how come those chemicals affect us so much? Mm. How can those chemicals affect our daily and weekly choices? How can those chemicals literally affect every single choice I make every single day? And to this day, not one scientist can explain the conscious. Even the most avid atheist cannot explain the conscience. And because the conscience is part of the soul. And if you don't believe in the soul, it's fine. Then stop believing in consciousness. Because that's your soul. If there's no scientific proof of consciousness. And obviously we know emotions, serotonin, and all that stuff. We still don't understand how that affects us. And it's been over 10,000 years, 30,000 years, 40,000 years since we've been studying the mind, and yet they still can't figure out how the mind thinks.
Wow. Yeah. That was good. I love that.
Yep.
Jacob, hit out the part. Who won it? Anybody else got anything to say? Chris, you got anything to say?
Yeah, I would just say because you asked for an example, yes. a simple example. Yeah. And a simple example with one word is your tears.
Okay.
That's how you know you have a soul. Whether you're shedding a lot of tears or not, and it's the perfect example where we see the shortest scripture in the Bible, but the most powerful scripture in the Bible because of the impact that it caused, where Jesus in the Bible wept. Jesus wept. That is the perfect display of your mind, will, and emotions. And what we don't talk about is the connectivity of, we talk about the reality that Jesus told Lazarus to wake up. He said, rise, get out of the coffin. We talk about that, but we don't talk about the reality that empowered him for that reality to be manifested. And let me tell you a little secret. It was his tear that gave the power to Lazarus to be able to get out of the coffin. Why? Because it was his mind, will, and emotions that set him free from that bondage. Jesus's mind will. Why? Because he was emotionally tied to Lazarus. Some scholars say that Lazarus was his best friend. It caused his heart to be moved. So when he said, hey, get out of that coffin, he had all the authority to be able to manifest that, because even other scholars would say that Lazarus was nothing but a seed. He was nothing but a seed. So when the tears hit the ground, the manifestation of the root being harvested was planted. Lazarus, raising.
Okay. Jacob, did you have anything to say on that? Because I don't know if I...
No, that's it, man. You just...
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to make sure, because I don't know if somebody was trying to talk. So I was like, oh, did someone say something? Okay. All right. The next one is... Okay. So I don't know if you guys do yoga, but I do yoga, and Andrea does yoga.
I do yoga.
Oh, okay. Yay! Okay, cool. So, do you believe that yoga has a spiritual tie? To my yoga people. Well, technically, Aaron, you can answer too, and Chris, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if you've seen yoga or one of your family members do yoga. So, if you guys want to, you know, add on after the yoga people talk, you're good to go.
Of course, yoga has a spiritual tie.
Okay.
And so does a lot of things that we do in the Christian church, like celebrate Easter and Easter bunnies and Easter eggs.
Okay.
Those are actually pagan gods, but we don't talk about that. Christmas trees were pagan gods, but we don't want to talk about that. I actually do yoga. While I do yoga, yep. I pray. And I'll pray for my church. Okay. I'll pray for my family. Mm. I pray for my wife.
Okay.
My body has been way more. I lost a lot of weight from it. My body felt incredible. And I believe that you need to steward your temple. So it's. I think everything comes from the intention of your heart. From drinking to the movies to you watch, what is the conviction that the Lord gave you? And are those private convictions or are they public convictions? And and if that thing, if that's you think yoga is bad for you, keep it to yourself. Don't judge someone that's doing it, but you don't do it. And I'm never going to endorse yoga publicly and say everyone should do yoga because that may be a weak link for you and you may stumble, you may fall, and I don't want you to do that. But for me and my family, we don't think it's, I mean, we know it's spiritual, but we know that we have a spirit over that. We know that we have a spirit inside that conquered that. Mm-hmm. And we know that we're using yoga for us to steward our temple. And for me, it's bonding between me and my wife. And I pray for my church and my family. So it's all those things. But if you think you feel bad about yoga, don't do it. The Lord speaking to you about it, don't do it.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. What about you, Andre? You want to add on to that?
I mean, like you said that, I mean, for me, for yoga, it's more of a finding a higher power, like connecting with the higher power, if you want to say so, basically with God. But it's also like, it's also a, as you say, what are they like, what do you, what most people say, like the, say like you got hit by the Holy Spirit, right? So basically it's like an out of body experience. Than anything. It's just more of you connecting with your, I hate to say it like this, but your spiritual realm, if you really want to go there, than anything. So it's just basically building a sense of meditation.
Okay, Aaron, do you have anything to say on that?
Boy, do I. So, I actually did like a really in-depth study of yoga.
Oh.
Like super in depth, like to the point where I was like reading about people that I couldn't pronounce their names and stuff. And it got really deep. But so I believe that yoga has a spiritual tie because the people that invented it, the people that run it in India and like all over the world, they believe that it has a spiritual tie. And in poses like the downward dog, like they literally created it to allow demons to come into their body and possess them.
Okay.
That was the point. That was the whole point of yoga. It was actually the word slipping my mind. What's the it's like an Indian religion.
Hinduism.
It has like over 2,000 gods.
Hinduism. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was like they said that there's no yoga without Hinduism. There's no Hinduism without yoga. Yoga is actually a Hinduistic, like a is a practice of Hinduism. So personally, I don't, because I feel convicted about it after that study. Because I'm like, regardless of like what I want to do, like I don't want to be worshiping and like pagan gods or having like them take over my body or anything. Of course, like I believe that we have power over that, and I don't judge anybody who does yoga, but that's like a personal conviction of mine.
And I think Jacob said, you know, if you can't, you know, if you can't, you know, do it, or if it makes you feel blah 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 blah, then you know, maybe you shouldn't, just to save yourself for good, you know. Chris, what about you?
I would just sum it up with you know, everything is lawful, but not everything is profitable. And I mean, that's pretty much what Jacob said and pretty much what Aaron said, just summing it all up. You know, and the reality is, you know, I thought it was beautiful that Jacob pointed out the reality that there are some things that you just keep in your private and you keep it in your household. Mm-hmm. It's between you, your family, and God. Yep. And then there's other things that you have the heart and the ability to be honest enough. Well, it's not that you're being dishonest. It's just you have certain convictions that you're able to be publicly out front about, you know, because there are certain things that people do not display properly. And it's like, well, actually, that's not bad at all. You know, you have just got caught up in your religion and now you've taken something. Because, I mean, Yeah, I can go on and on about this because I can just say, look at right. the speaking in tongues, you know, and some people think that that's not for today. And, you know, and it's that same kind of concept, in my opinion. You just got to be careful. You know, you obviously don't want the outcome, because I've also looked into, you know, yoga, and Aaron is right on with that information. But the biggest sum up of all is you have to just guard your temple correctly. Just like yep. Jacob was saying, you have to take care of this temple. And in reality, if yoga is the only workout you're going to do, do yoga. But if you're going to commit to doing getting, because then you have the people that just sit on their butt the whole day. That's not okay either. That's just as bad as doing yoga and, you know, letting demons come in you, you know, because you're called to steward this temple. No, for real. You think it's funny. Don't be a gluttoner. That's a real scripture.
I like that.
You know, so no, you're guys, called I'll steward this.
I thought you were done.
What'd you say? I was just going to say, yeah, the sum total of all I'm just trying to say is, you, regardless of the practice, you have to steward this body the correct way. Everything is not profitable to you, but you need to steward your body.
I would just go with, like, one more, just like, just a rebuttal, not against Aaron, but just because that's all. I know the Hinduism thing is a common misconception. It is Hinduistic. Like, it started there, but it's actually evolved a lot to where you can actually do yoga without doing any of the ancient yoga poses. So actually, the yoga studio that I go to has a lot of new American ones that just been produced in this last century. And you just got to be careful with that because, I mean, soccer, some other sports, rugby, cricket, these things were actually played unto the Greek gods. And when we watch soccer, we don't say, oh, yeah, let's go Zeus, right? We don't say those things because time allowed it to be like, okay, this is obviously not what we do anymore. The rules changed. Things changed. So we have to be careful with that. But I also agree with everyone in this room. Like, if you feel like it's not for you, don't do it, obviously. But just be careful. We have to be careful with judging people who do it in the future because we don't know what their heart intent is anyway.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Does anybody need to add anything else on?
No, I just wanted to, like, clear up.
No,
I wasn't, judging any of y'all that do it. I was just saying, personally, I just didn't feel right after looking up the history of it. And I was like, I could go, like, for me, too, like, I could just go stretch and play basketball.
Hey, everybody, I understand with that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just take care of your temple. Take care of your temple. We don't need you dying early because you had too many chicken bones. You know what I mean?
Like, all I'm saying is that some people can take that and then twist it and use it as condemnation. So you just have to, we have to be able to see everything in contextual, everything in, you know what I'm saying? That's why, like I said, we need to listen, right? Like, we need to learn and listen to people that way. So.
Okay. Yep. I like that. Okay, Chris, I'm going to start up at you for this question. So what is faith? It's two questions in one, by the way. What is faith, and what does faith require you to believe in God?
What faith? Well, first off, I would say, like, I'm going to answer the backside of it. Faith, what does it require from you? I mean, faith is, you know, as the scripture says it, faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it is the perfect reality of what we were what I mentioned earlier about the life that James was walking in. It was his being able to see, to have confidence in what was not in front of him, knowing that the reality of it would manifest by his reality of tapping into knowing God. You know, so like I love another scripture, Romans 4, I think it's Romans 4:14, where Abraham, it says that Abraham had hope against hope. You see what I'm saying? So there was nothing in front of him, right? But he kept going, believing, knowing that due to his relationship and his connectivity to God, that what God promised him would be manifested. So faith is your confidence, not in yourself. It's in the confidence of the reality of God. And the beautiful thing is, when you truly have confidence in God, it never goes hidden. Right. It always is displayed. And that's where people miss it, because you don't have to tell too oftentimes us as young preachers, you know, and I've even felt into this multiple times. If I'm really flowing in what God's called me to flow in, I don't have to walk around and say, hey, look what I'm doing. Everybody knows and can see the transparency of God through me, not by my might, not by my power, but by the Holy Spirit. So it is the confidence in God on display for the whole world to see.
I like that.
That's faith.
Okay. What about you, Jacob?
So I'm gonna. He gave the Christian version. I'm just gonna give it where if I'm just gonna say if a person doesn't know anything he's saying, right?
Right.
So I'm gonna use the scripture. Faith is substance and evidence, right? Every person in this entire planet has faith.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in a substance. You believe some sort of substance, and you believe That's in good. Some sort mm-hmm. of evidence. If it's monkeys turning into humans, or if it's the universe exploding and turning into what we are, or even if it's a fat guy, fat statue, right? It doesn't matter. We all have a substance, right? Either a substance is God or it's other idols. And we have collective evidence that we believe good. In, right? That will prove our substance. So every person has that. If it's psychology, you believe in psychology, you have school or whatever the case may be, that's your evidence. And if you have, say, Buddhism, you have Buddha as your substance, and then you have evidence that will support that substance. So us, obviously as Christians, our substance is Christ himself, the king of the world, and our evidence is the scriptures. So that's faith.
I love that. That was good. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, so Jacob pretty much took the words right out of my mouth, but I believe that, like he said, everybody has faith, and everybody's faith is just in different places, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're Hindu, no matter what that is, everybody has faith.
But, oh, okay. Yeah. He's like, he took the words out of my mouth. guys. Okay, Andrea, what about you? When you think of faith, what do you think of?
When I think of faith, okay. I think of trusting.
Do you want to elaborate?
In anything. It's like you... It, okay. Yeah. In anything. I just feel like you're trusting. So with any religion or faith or God, whatever you believe in, basically you're trusting in that higher power.
Okay. All right. And so I'm going to go to my married people. I got Jacob and Aaron. what advice do you give to married people that might be unequally yoked?
You can go first if you like.
Dang. I mean, that's a tough question because it's like, once you put a ring on it, that's game over. Right. So I think if, let's say, like, you're a Christian, right, and you're listening to this podcast, and like, and your significant other is not. I would suggest, I would pray a lot. Because usually I would suggest people who are engaged or dating, like, hey, maybe have those conversations. Because it gets really tricky, like, when you come to having kids. Like, let's say, like, I used to date a girl that was Hindu back in high school. And that was, like, one of the reasons I broke up with her was when we have kids, like, I'm not trying to fight for Christian, like whether this kid is going to be taught Christianity or not. So I would suggest a lot of prayer and just talking about the Bible to your spouse, because I think there's power in the word.
I like that. What about you, Jacob?
So I heard a quote from a really amazing pastor. He said, sometimes people question if they married the right person. He said, I suggest that you go to your office, pull out your marriage certificate and look at the names on it. That's the person you're supposed to marry. So the person you marry is who you're supposed to marry. And if you marry that person, I mean, like, it's not who you're supposed to, but that's it. Like, you pick that, that's your thing. And it's covenant, it's forever. And I believe that if you approach it that way as one thing, like, you have to understand that this is forever. Second thing is, it's not your job to change them. It's Jesus's job to change them. Correct. So a lot of times they want to have the burden and the pressure of changing the other person. That's not your job. That's God's job. Right. And then the third thing I would say is, I heard this recently. I asked my buddy who just got, he had been married for 6 years. And he told me, he said, I asked him what some advice he would give me. He said, just die to yourself. And I think that's been the biggest thing for my marriage, my life. And I think a lot of people can say that. When you die to your own selfish ambitions,
facts.
When you die to your own wants, when you die to that, not just spiritually, but physically, like even where you want to go to eat, little things, they're going to start seeing that you're more invested in them than that you're invested in yourself. And when people see humility, they see Jesus. And I believe that's going to be able to change people because you're willing to die to yourself for the other person.
I like that. Chris, do you want to come? I know you were coming with the coming. Come on, bro.
Yeah. But again, these guys are knocking it out of the park. I love the answers. And what I'm just going to share, I believe, just ties it all together. And I think the biggest thing, I'm not married. They know that.
Hey, but he's single. You know, I'm out already.
I'm not married.
Hey, single. Just from single.
Oh, sorry,
single. Oh, single. Yeah. Full of
and he got money in his bank and good. No. Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Okay. But on a serious note, I think from being around married people that have been married for 50, 60 years and having the honor to do life with them, one of the biggest important things that they've shared in me and instilled in me is the importance of prayer, you know, and, you know, prayer gives you the ability to take what's not seen, going off of that faith question, not seen, and apply it to a reality. There's been many people's lives that have changed because somebody committed to stop what they were doing for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, and say, you know what? I'm going to commit to praying for this person out loud, saying their name every day. And I'm going to believe that the reality of how I see them, because God has given me a perspective of them that they don't know about, I'm going to believe that it will change. Because the reality of prayer, when you who you pray for is who you truly love. Prayer is intimacy. Prayer is intimacy. That's why I share with guys that, you know, I have the honor of speaking into their lives and they ask me about these things. I say, you got to be careful. You can pray for people, but you got to be careful, number one, who prays for you. And you got to be careful who you're praying around, because prayer is intimate. You want somebody to catch your heart, pray for them. And that's the thing. I think that that is the missing ingredients in a lot of relationships, you know, but you have to be careful, though, because when it comes to the single people out there, you don't want every girlfriend that you have, you don't want to just be praying with her on the phone, because what you're doing is you're creating soul ties with her. That same reality that we talked about with Lazarus was due to the power of the connectivity between Jesus and Lazarus. There was connection. They had prayed together before. So there was a love there, despite, you know, what was the, despite the reality of what Lazarus was in, there was still a connectivity there. So all that to be said, if your wife is not acting how you want her to act, ask yourself, how much have I been praying for her? How much time have I been spending praying with her, for her and with her? Right. Not just for her, no, with her. Because when you always have time for what you love. And that's the biggest key, I think, that we always miss out on. If you love them, you're going to take the time to go to the throne room for them and with them.
I like that. I like that.
Always.
Definitely. I think that's one thing. Sometimes our generation, especially if you're single, I feel that that's one thing we really struggle with. But even when you're dating and you're married and stuff like that, sometimes I feel in certain marriages, they don't. They're married and they're so excited for it, but they forget what their mission is in the marriage. Like, you have a mission.
But this is the thing, Mariah. You don't wait until your wife comes to start praying for her. You don't wait for your husband to come to start praying for them. You start making them now. Because another thing about grace, when you're praying, what you're allowing is undeserved unmerited favor to hit whoever your spouse is right now. So what you're doing is you're making them into who you want them to be. And on that same measure, they're making you into, when they're praying for you too, they're making you into who they want you to be. And that's how you get these mighty men of valor and these virtuous women to be realities, not fabrications. Because of the commitment of calling those things that are not,
I like that,
as though they were.
Does it have, anybody have to add anything on to that?
I have one more thing to share, just like a quick like testimony to give all my unequally yoked married people out there a little hope. So some of me and Chris's friends, they have like a crazy story. There was a girl, Tiffany, and she was kind of straying from the Lord at the time. And she went out to a bar, met a guy, bada bing, bada boom. Some things happened. There's a baby. And so they got married, but right. The guy was not a Christian. So she, like, she prayed. She tried to do everything. And like 2 years into the marriage, she was miserable. She was upset just because he wasn't really receiving. He was still going out and drinking and doing all this stuff. And finally she prayed and was like, Lord, like, I'm giving this situation over to you. And as soon as she did that, literally a week later, he walked into their room crying and was like, I want to know about Jesus.
Wow. That's
good. So if you're in that situation, give it to the Lord. Like Jacob said, so it's Jesus's job to win over their heart, not ours.
I agree. I've been I don't know if you guys have seen the drop of this book, but I've been reading a book by Michael Todd called Relationship Goals. I don't know if you guys heard about it. It's a really good book. I actually started. Okay.
We are Christians. We've heard about it.
We've all heard the 40-part okay. Sermon series.
Yes. Right. It's good.
And though. The reload, too, you know?
I feel like the book has definitely helped me understand relationships as well as just also get a part of a community, because I feel like that is one thing as whole people struggle with too, is having a community. You know, you got those people that like to be kind of like outside. Yeah. Well, actually, they're very isolated. They don't talk to people. They kind of just stay in the corner. They're those kids that, like, you know, stand around and you'd be like, oh, come here, just talk to me. And they kind of know, they're in that corner over there. So I think that the book has definitely a really good book if you haven't seen it. But also, were you guys able to watch that video I sent in the group message about that 25-year-old? Boy. Okay.
Oh yeah, we watched. Okay. I watched it. I watched it before you sent it. I mean, that was his perspective of heaven and hell. I thought it was, you know, to my understanding of, you know, what I've known, not known, like, obviously I haven't been to heaven or hell, but from what I've read and researched and studied and what I see as hell, you know, after watching it, I thought that he could have very well, you know, I'm not calling him a liar. That's between him and God. But I think that, you know, what he was sharing is, what's the word? It just left me. Like, he... it's real. Like, you know what I mean? I thought he was right on, especially like with his, you know, description of heaven.
I thought it was cool, but we have to remember that's not the goal. And we as a church, man, talk too much about these two things, except talking about eternity in the sense of what am I investing now that will affect eternity. And I think people are wasting their time every single day.
That's good.
Not knowing this today may be their last day. And they're wasting their life thinking about, I'm just going to chill in heaven. Come on, guys. Live your life now. Live your life now. Live your best life right now. Make the most of what God wants to do now.
And you're not even going to be in heaven? That's good, Jacob. I was just going to say, you're not even going to... The reality is you don't even realize that you're not even going to be in heaven that long. God never intended you to stay in heaven. But that's another podcast. Right. He made the earth for us. Yeah, that's In other words, Jacob was saying, Chris, we'll be back. Don't go down that road.
We'll bring that back season 3. Wait for it. Aaron, were you able to look at the video?
Yeah, so I've actually seen that video before. Okay. I thought it was a really cool experience. Right. But like Jacob said, I really try not to focus too much on heaven. My main goal is to bring heaven down to earth. Like, I don't want to be focusing on, because Christianity was never about escape. It was never about, I just want to get to heaven.
Yep.
Like, it's always about, I want to bring heaven down to earth. That's why we're here.
I agree with that. That's the whole podcast. Well, one thing I did like Oh yeah, that I'm telling you, you don't have to have part like yeah. have that part.
For real.
Part two, season three, no joke. But I one thing I did like about what he said was that, you know, people get so focused on what's on earth, your car, your wife, your everything, right? But they don't focus on like what's gonna happen. What happens when you go to heaven? Are you gonna have? You're not gonna have these things. So basically, he kind of, in my perspective, I got out of the video like basically live your life. Love people, do everything you can do, because like regardless of you thinking that you're gonna go up to heaven with your wife, you're not. The cars, you're not. So stop living so materialistic and live for loving people, impacting people's lives and everything like that. That's at least what I got out of the video. Cousin, were you able to Andre, were you able to look at the video or no? Okay.
No.
It's good, girl. Okay. You still got time to listen to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, you still got time. So we are gonna wrap it up, but I'm gonna start out with Jacob. Do you have any new events coming up? Anything you do on Zoom with your youth group? Because I know we're in this quarantine, this COVID-19, blah blah blah. So is there anything you're doing, upcoming events? Do you do any Zooms for youth kids and everything like that you can shout out right now?
So we're actually meeting now. So
okay,
there's nothing. Honestly, I'm being intentional with just the people.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you have a book coming out?
Wait a minute, a book? What's up?
Jacob, you got a book?
Oh. Is that supposed to not to be announced?
Walked away. Jacob. Okay, Jacob has left the building, guys. He has left the building. He actually left the building, guys. No joke. Yeah, I think he went. I think he was taking his dog out because I heard a rattle of a dog. So I'm thinking he walked away from the connection. So he'll be back later, like I said, next season, part two. So Aaron, is there any special events? Oh, Jacob.
Wait, no, I think he came back home.
Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't know where he went.
It's because my wife called me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Because it doesn't let you, like do both.
Hey, don't.
No.
I'm in the process of editing my book.
Hey, right now. Don't you have a book
leadership
coming out?
It's called Leadership Lessons Through Proverbs. Yeah. And I went through every single proverb in the Bible and wrote leadership thoughts on them.
So. Okay, when does it, do we have like a dropping
date? We don't dropping date. I'm not going to drop a date.
Oh.
I'm just going to drop it with no promotion and see what's up.
Oh, I like that. Okay. I like that, most definitely. Andre, you have anything coming up? You want to shout out your Instagram? You can do that as well, Jacob, if you want to shout out yours as well before she goes.
No, not at
all. Follow Thrive NRH. I'm not on my personal Instagram, so Thrive NRH.
Okay, sounds good. Get a part of that youth group. Come on, get a community. Stop playing. Okay, Aaron, do you have any special events coming up? Youth groups you're doing, Zooms you're doing that people can kind of get connected with?
Yeah, so our youth ministry is called Explicit. You can follow us at Explicit YTH, so Explicit Youth. And we have a lot going on right now. We're doing Zoom small groups on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. So if you want to get involved with that, you can DM us on Instagram, and we'd love to get you involved. We also have a huge one-day camp coming up on June 30th, where we're going to have some special guests coming in for worship and maybe a nice guest speaker that'll be really cool. So that's coming up on June 30th. It'll be like an all-day event at Trinity Church.
Love it. Love to hear it. Like I said, if you heard what he said, you better get you a community. Stop playing. All right, Chris, do you have any special things coming up? Anything that you need to tell us about? Okay, you want to shout out to Instagram?
No, I'm just chilling. Yeah, sure. You can follow me at Chris_Shields, or you can follow my kind of like artistic creative podcast page.
Bro, what about Coffee with Pops? Are you just forgetting that?
Hey, if you follow That Groovy Dude, you'll learn, you know what it is. And yeah, just keeping it, just enjoying, you know, coffee, God,
okay,
and
okay.
Relationship with my dad.
Oh, you gonna tell him about that other podcast you're starting in September?
Wow, you know more of my life than I know about myself. Yeah, in September, I'm working on a transparent, authentic, just real talk exploration of my life. It's called The Open Book with Chris Shields. I'm just going to talk about, you know, areas through leadership, through years of experience in ministry, of failures that I've had, and how staying committed to, you know, the process through those failures, they've turned to victories. So we're just going to be real. The first episode, we're going to, anybody that knows me is going to enjoy this title to the first episode. So I'm going to go ahead and share it.
Yes,
why do you talk so much? It's going to be the first episode.
Yo, I gotta figure out why, bro.
I'm just going to.
I want to know. Favor.
Why do you talk so much? So that's going to be the first episode. And I'm just going to be honest and transparent and upfront about, you know, that experience of why I became from, 1994 to 2020,
like
who I am
I'm
today.
I'm hyped. I'm going to be at
so
that first episode.
Should be good.
That's my favorite one. That one right there. That one
right there. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris, for coming through. I appreciate you. I will bring you on for part two of this talk on Speak Up, Speak Out. So we'll keep in contact, most definitely. Jacob, thank you for coming. Whatever.
I am your brother.
Whatever. Jacob, thank you for coming through. I will definitely keep in contact with you as well. There is, season three, I'm going to be doing a podcast on youth leaders. So I'm going to have a whole bunch of youth pastors come through and speak on being a youth pastor, what's going on with the generation, how we're going to impact the generation, how we're going to take the world. So we'll keep in contact, most definitely. Cool. Yes. Andrea, thank you for coming through. We're going to work out in a couple minutes.
No
so
problem.
It's good, girl.
Yep.
Erin, thank you for coming through as well. I will keep in contact. I'll keep in contact with you as well for the youth pastor thing, as well as, like I said, there's going to be a part two of this. Like, there has to be. Come on. Like, for real. For real. So you can follow me on Instagram at Speak Up, Speak Out Nation One. That's where I post all the videos on who's going to be on, as well as I put, you know, I have funny, like, stories that I put up, and, like, I'm just goofy. So just follow the page, because you'll probably be laughing. Probably. Not for sure. Oh my gosh.
You are this guy.
Nobody, Nobody is worried about you. So, you can follow that page. You can also follow me on Facebook at Mariah Shields, Mariah Elizabeth Shields. But I do have another page called Speak Up, Speak Out Nation 297. So follow that. And overall, I thank you guys for coming through. I'm so excited for what's in store for all of us. So this is Speak Up, Speak Out, and we out.